you will go out there and do whatever you want and get it done.
Mm-hmm. Today, our topic is Sacred Ground Under Siege, Protecting Native Burial Sites in Florida. And our guest is Robert Rosa. He's the president of the American Indian Movement of Central Florida. Robert, thank you for your time today and giving us an update on what's happening with our burial sites in our state.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, we need help here. Any lawyers, any politicians, you know, we need to get this word out to protect burials. We currently have 7. So
thank you, brother.
That's enough.
Thank you for being here today, brother. Certainly appreciate you. Learned a lot about your organization and love what you're doing. Stay in the fight.
Yes.
Thank you.
Stay in touch with us, too.
Thank you, brothers. Bumatum.
Yes. Any new developments, keep us posted. We'll blast them for us. Thank you.
You got it, brother. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. If you would like to support our program, you can stop by to donate on our homepage at indigenousinthenews.org. You can also find all of our past shows now on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Music today was from Tom B. and his band Exit, and that tune was Beginning. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a great week and safe journeys. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.
Hi, I'm Michael Van Cleek. I'm tapped into the vibe and the rhythm of the river of the city of Portland, and you are too, because you're listening to KBOO Portland.
The Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. Welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Larry Kay from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. Joining us today on Indigenous in the News is Elizabeth Lovejoy Brown, Executive Director of the Dr. Susan LaFlesh Peacock Center and Division Head of Human Services at the Nebraska Indian Community College. A proud member of the Omaha Tribe, Liz brings nearly 2 decades of experience in Native health, social work, and community leadership. She's here to share her vision for healing, empowerment, and cultural revitalization. Indigenous in the News starts now. I'm Larry Kay, and joining us from our Miami studios is Gary Wilcox. Gary, how you doing today?
Doing well, Larry. Today, yeah, we're honored to speak with Liz Lovejoy Brown of the Omaha Tribe of Nebraska. She serves as an executive director of the historic Dr. Susan LaFlesh Peacock Center. Welcome to the show, Liz, and happy to have you and find out about all about the Peacock Center.
Welcome, Liz.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah.
So let's get started. Liz, can you start by telling us a little bit about your background and the connection to the Omaha Tribe?
Yeah, so my background, I am also a member of the Omaha Tribe. I am part of the Inkasabe clan. We have a whole clanship for our tribe, which is called the Hulaga. And I am from the Buffalo clan of the Earth People. So I'm from the Inkasabe clan, Black Shoulder. And so for me, I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. And I had the great blessing to have grown up with my grandpa. When my grandma passed away, my mom and dad decided to move in with my grandpa. And my grandpa was a cultural leader for the community, both on the reservation and as well as in the city. So I've had the opportunity to learn a lot about our cultural customs and practices through my grandpa. For me, I grew up very into the Omaha ways that my grandpa raised me to be. I grew up through ceremony and sweat and just the practices of the Omaha tribe. And so that would be my connection to the Omaha tribe, just through my family. I gained knowledge about my tribe just basically from growing up and being a part of it. So I was very much involved in powwow ceremony, powwow process. I danced all the styles that I was able to, fancy shawl and jingle. So yeah, that's my background for that when it comes to the Omaha tribe and just for who I am and how I grew up.
And you have a big powwow down there, for the oldest too, isn't it, I believe?
Yeah, the Hitawachi, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe we're at 125.
Yes. Wow. Big one, big one. We'll have to invite the whole nation over for a big celebration coming this August. Yeah. What inspired you to pursue a career in social work and community leadership?
So for me, my mother, she was a very big advocate in the Omaha community. And she is the founder for Native American Theater in the state of Nebraska.
Oh, wow.
So I grew up with my mom coming around the of Omaha, working with Native kids from all different tribes. It was an intertribal community in Omaha. And she would go around and she would pick up all the kiddos and we would all meet at this community theater place called Emmy Giffords, which is now the Rose Theater in Omaha, Nebraska, which is a really big children's theater. And so my mom, she would bring all of the Native kids to the Emmy Giffords at that time. And she would share stories, oral teachings that she learned through our family, or she would read books to them, speaking of the cultural practices of the Lakotas or different tribes. And while she was doing that, her whole intent was to help them become more in touch with their culture and to grow more curiosity about what their tribe does. Just because when you're living in the city, sometimes it's hard to be able to have a central location for natives to come to go and practice their cultural practices. So that's what she did. And she grew, you know, a pretty good amount of students to come that wanted to know, you know, how do I get my Indian meme? How do I go and get to be a part of a powwow? How do I dance? Things like that. So my mom did that, and she was also very active in the community in other ways as well. She was the president of the board for the Dodge Park powwow, which was the only powwow that was held in Omaha that was a weekend powwow where everybody got to camp out and dance, and it was a contest powwow. And so my mom was the president of the board for that for several years. So I had the opportunity to witness her leading those. And so my mom was the leader in the community to ensure not only the culture practices, but just to keep that community engagement going.
Nice.
So I would like to say my mother was a huge inspiration for me to have a community leadership. But there's also another person that my mom also mentioned to me when I was 8 years old, and that was Dr. Susan LaFleche Picot. Susan LaFleche, my mom told me about her, and she said that she went and she got her education. She became a doctor, and she decided to, you know, serve the community. That's all I knew when I was little. She was from my tribe, she was Native, and she was a girl, and she became a doctor. And so from that point, I was like, you know what? I want to do the same thing. I want to get my education. I want to go to college. And I want to go back and help my tribe in any possible way I can. And so that was embedded within me, along with my mother's perseverance and her ambition that she had towards the community. And that pushed me to want to pursue my involvement in the community. For me to pursue my career in social work, I feel like it was just kind of a given. For me, I was at a crossroads between going into law school and social work. I had taken my LSAT, but I became pregnant with my youngest son. And I was accepted into University of Iowa to work on my master's of social work. Yeah. And it was like, okay, which way do I want to go? Mm-hmm. I decided to go forth with the master's of social work, which I'm very thankful for. Mm-hmm. Because not only did I learn how to, write grants and how to interact with people, but I also learned how to, navigate and communicate with people. As an MSW, you are practically trained to be a mental health therapist. And so I had that skill set along with, obtaining my MSW.
Sure, sure. And who was your mother?
My mother, her name is Andrea Lovejoy.
All right. Mm-hmm. Want to make sure we mention her. Got to give her some credit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So for our listeners who may not know who Dr. Susan LaFlesh Picot is, can you tell us who she is, expand a little more on that, and also why she is such an important figure in Native American history?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Dr. Susan LaFlesh, she is from the Omaha tribe of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. She became the first Native American doctor ever. Not the first Native American woman doctor. She was the first Native American doctor, and she was a woman. She graduated valedictorian. And she did this before women were eligible to vote.
Mm.
And she did this before Native Americans were even considered human beings.
Wow. Some freaking hurdles, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Can you just imagine the things that she went through at right. that time? Like, women weren't seen as an equal back then. And being a minority on top of that, right? And so she was able to push through and literally go against the current and be able to make a difference. And the reason why she became a doctor was because when she was a little girl, she's seen a non-Native doctor refuse services to a Native woman and watch that Native woman die. And the non-Native doctor didn't want to provide services to her because she was Native.
Wow.
And so that pushed Dr. Susan to want to get her medical degree and to come back and serve the people of the community. Mm-hmm. But get this, when she came back, she didn't refuse services to anyone. She provided services to everybody. She didn't close her doors to anybody. Anybody who wanted her services or needed her, she didn't care where you were from or who your family was or what the pigmentation of your skin was.
Mm-hmm.
She helped you. And she was a very strong advocate for the community. She went and she pushed for her dad, made sure that there was no alcohol allowed on the reservation. She advocated for the same thing. She pushed for screen windows and screen doors because back then people didn't know that flies carried diseases.
Yep.
But she pushed for that. She pushed for a drinking fountain in town because everybody drank from a cup, from a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that she advocated for, and it actually happened. So she was a real warrior of the community for the people because she pushed to make a difference for the community. And she, not only that, but her hospital that she built was the first hospital to be built ever on any reservation. this was before IHS. This was before the treaties were put in place for tribal IHS BIA funding.
Wow.
And the hospital that she built was before any like tribal governmental funds, and she did it all through private funding. She reached out and did her own fundraising to build the hospital.
Right.
Hello.
Good story.
Oh yeah, that is amazing.
Can you share some of the history behind the original hospital and its significance to the Omaha people, our people, and the broader indigenous community?
So the hospital of Dr. the hospital that she built this in 1913. And she built this because prior to building a hospital, she was traveling by foot or horseback or horse and buggy to provide services to people. She had traveled to them, to their houses, to give services to them. And tuberculosis was a big, big deal back then. And so the way that the hospital was built, it was built to provide services to people of tuberculosis. And so the way that the hospital is built, there's a lot of significance in it. And one thing is that the entryway of the hospital faces east. The Omaha tribe, we believe in, you know, our way, our entry, our earth lodge, our teepees, they need to face east because that's where the sun rises. She did the same thing. The entry faces east. The other reason behind having the facility opening on the east was because of the way that the weather travels west to east. And she has this big porch on the hospital, and they have these archways. There's several of them, and they're screened. And there's a hook above the window. And those windows, each window was for a tuberculosis patient. And so she would have the patients hang by a hammock because it was believed that fresh air would help with tuberculosis. And the patients would hang there to get the fresh air. And when the weather would come, it would flow westward. So the weather wouldn't impact the porch where they were at. So patients could sit there all year round without having bad weather hitting them. Whether it be rain or snow, they could sit there and enjoy that weather. The hospital was built on the reservation, on the Omaha tribe's reservation. And she was an Omaha tribal member. And again, she provided services to everyone, tribal members and to anyone.
Today, our guest is Liz Lovejoy Brown of the Omaha Tribe of Nebraska. She serves as the executive director of the historic Dr. Susan LaFlesh Peacock Center. Liz is a powerful voice for cultural healing, youth empowerment, and restoring indigenous spaces for future generations. You can contact her directly at 531-254-0625. That's 531-254-0625. Or you can email director@peacockcenter.org.
Hush, God. Away. Shuka Wasowe Fikuti Yakudet Yakuwa Da Wekuwakan Wekuwakan.
So what types of programs or services are now being offered at the Peacock Center, and how do these programs support youth, families, and the community wellness?
So we have the main one is the exhibit of Dr. Susan. The exhibit has the Four Hills of Life. Mm-hmm. The Four Hills of Life is something that the Omaha tribe carries and follows. And just to share a little bit about that, the four hills represent each stage of our life. The first hill is going to be our infancy. The second hill is going to be our adolescence. The third hill is going to be our adult. And the fourth hill is going to be our elders. So these are all stages of our life, these four hills. And so the first hill, as an infant, you can go over it, you can go around it, you can go through it, you can do whatever you want. As an adolescent, you can go around it or you can go over it. As an adult, you have to go through it. And the reason why you have to go through it is because you're going to be facing times in your life that are inevitable, where you will be losing your parents, you will be losing your grandparents, you will be losing loved ones in your life because it's life. The last hill is the elders. And so that hill is where you go up to the very top. And while you're climbing up to the top of that hill, you want to make sure that your kids and your grandkids are learning the oral customs. They're learning everything that you are taught and that you're carrying on, and you're making sure what you know is being passed on. When you make it to the top of the hill, you're going to turn around and look back, and you're going to see all of your kids going over, around, and through these hills, all those three hills, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, maybe even your great-great-grandkids, watching all of them go through these hills. Then you're going to be making your way down to the bottom of the hill, and while you're doing that, you want to make sure that you're walking down gracefully so that you can lay to rest peacefully onto the last step. And so that whole area on the main floor of the hospital is an exhibit of Dr. Susan's Four Hills of Life. And so we are also incorporating our cultural beliefs with Dr. Susan's life. And we're sharing our customs, the way that we do things, along with her story and how she lived in two worlds. Mm-hmm. And how she was able to balance the colonial westernized society and also keeping her cultural practices and customs from the tribe. So there's that whole area that we have the community to come and learn more about. Everything in there is in Omaha language. We have it translated into English for people to know what they're reading. We have exhibits from infancy to the elder. And so that's one area. We have a shop for Dr. Susan. So we have like totes. We even have a coffee blend dedicated to Dr. Susan. Wow. It's called the Dr. Susan LaFleche Picot Blend Coffee. Nice. That we sell there. Yeah. And so this whole area is dedicated to Dr. Susan, everything. We have books, we have tote bags, we have coffee. We have another coffee called Mokon Sabe, and that's how you say coffee in Omaha. So we're selling two coffees that are dedicated to Dr. Susan. And so that's something that I'm really excited to see. The youth room that we have is very interactive for kids to come in and play and to learn. And in that youth room, it has native plants, and you learn about that. We have displays that talk about our naming ceremony, and then the history of Dr. Susan when she was a young girl. The other area that we have within the hospital is the business incubator. for entrepreneurs. We have a community room where the community could come in and hold a meeting, a place for them to come and work, or to hold a shop or workshop for the day. Mm-hmm. We have a community garden for people to come in and be a part of that. We had a lot of our high schoolers from Walt Hill and from Bancroft and from Omaha Nation to come and help with the plants. We also have a makerspace, and that's a place where people can come and make their regalia, do beadwork, make stickers or whatever it is we have. And this is through the Community of Rural Affairs. They will be holding a space there, and they have the Cricut machines, the Glowforge, sewing machines, sergers, embroiderer, wow. All the stuff for community members to come in and to make those things, but also to learn about horticulture, to learn about plants. They have a freeze dryer to freeze dry meat and food. And then we also have a clinic in our main floor. So the main floor is the bottom floor. The bottom floor is dedicated to our clinic. And that is going to be a medical clinic and a behavioral health clinic and a special needs juvenile clinic. So we will have a urgent care clinic in partnership with the University of Nebraska Medical Center, the College of Nursing. We will be holding a urgent care clinic there. And the benefit of this is not only that we're going to be serving the clinic or serving the community. Mm-hmm. It is for the students. So the University of Nebraska Medical Center, UNMC, they have a campus in Norfolk, and that is not too far away from Walt Hill, maybe 30 miles. And so the students from that campus will be able to come and shadow a practitioner there. And they will be able to get their hours and get their education there at the clinic.
Oh, wow.
Nice. We will also have a program with a partnership with UNMC. It's called the Monroe Meyer Institute. It's number one in the country. It's a service to juveniles and youth that are in need of special services, such as children who are autistic, who have ADHD, who are wheelchair bound, who just need that extra care. Wow. And so the Monroe Meyer Institute will be there as well.
And what do you have, man? You guys have everything. That is amazing.
Yeah. Through Monroe Meyer Institute, we will have an occupational therapist, a physical therapist, a psychiatrist, and a psychologist. And we will be also partnering with the Omaha Tribe of Nebraska's Carl T. Curtis Health Education Center, and they will be providing mental health therapists there, and they will be providing services to the community as well.
Nice. Wow, you nice. Guys are setting the bar
way
really up. High. I applaud you all, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, lastly, how can people support the work you're doing, whether through donations, partnerships, or volunteering?
We welcome everything and anything when it comes to support for the hospital. We accept donations from anybody who's willing to donate. We have students who come in to help with the gardening. So we're welcoming of everything and anything to help contribute to the hospital. We are still fundraising. So if anybody would be willing to help contribute to the growth of Dr. Susan LaFleche Picotte Hospital, we would be very much grateful.
Where do we go to help out? Right online?
Go to our website at www.picottecenter.org.
Yes, let's jump on. Help out.
Well, Liz, I just want to thank you for stopping by today and sharing your story with us, this super exciting topic. Thank you again. You guys truly have set the bar really high and done such a great job. So
yeah, salute.
Salute to you.
Yeah, great work. Thank you for your time today and all the work you're doing for the Picot Center. So stay in touch with us with any updates you want to share, and we'll blast them for you. So stay well.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. Have a good night. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. If you'd like to support our program, you can stop by to donate on our homepage at indigenousinthenews.org. You can also find all of our past shows now on Spotify at iHeartRadio. Music today was from Koo Eek from Seattle, and that tune was Ocean Child I Am. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a great week and safe journeys. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.